This podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. It feels like we're in the south of France.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Very, very hot this week.
Very hot.
We got three fancy ice creams for a fiver from the supermarket.
Did you?
Yep.
What fancy ice creams were they?
Toblerone.
A Toblerone ice cream?
Who knew that was a thing?
That's
it's
not real.
A thing.
Is it?
Boost.
Hang on.
Boost ice creams. Am I educating you? Did you not know anything about this?
Have you been going to?
It's actually Ocado online.
A Boost is in the chocolate bar.
Really? They're doing ice cream.
Never.
Also Magnum, almond Magnum.
Of standard.
So yeah. Three boxes of ice creams for £5.
Wow.
Just saying. So if you're doing an ice cream stand for your wedding.
Ugh.
You could have all these flavours.
I did not know that. Yeah. We just favour a Twister in my house. Simple and straightforward. And if you buy the mini ones, you can have four because it feels like you've only had one.
Oh, excellent.
That's my theory anyway. Today's episode, hello and welcome to, is how to host your own wedding. What I mean when I say hosting your own wedding is that you're not having your wedding in a conventional wedding venue.
That is typically caters for weddings and big events,
that's
basically.
The one, yes.
So you're talking about your back garden.
I am.
Your parents or family friends' back garden.
Yeah.
The whole marquee.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
A more unconventional venue that's maybe not set up for weddings, but you could potentially hire them for your wedding.
Absolutely.
So a village hall.
Yep.
Random field.
Random barn.
Mm-hmm.
Abandoned warehouse somewhere.
Yeah.
We will be going through the options of places and types of self-made weddings and all the things you might need to consider before going ahead with hosting your own wedding. So I suggest having a fancy pen and pad to hand in case you want to make any mm-hmm. notes. We all know that you've got some sort of snazzy wedding stationery going on. One of the first purchases, isn't it?
Yeah.
We did an Instagram poll, as we love to do, and it turns out that there are a fair few of you grabbing the wedding ball by the horns and hosting your own weddings, from using a group of holiday cottages to friends or parents' back gardens. It's got to be easier than your own, surely.
Surely.
Theatre spaces. You're all total advocates of having your day your way and doing exactly how you want to. One listener, Letty Loves, is having a marquee outside a small community run castle that she used to play in as a child.
Oh,
how nice is that?
Nice, yeah.
And I think that is the beauty of these types of weddings. So long as you've got permission, you can literally create your wedding anywhere. One that you'll like, Charlotte. Mrs. Lydia Costello is getting married in a garden of an Airbnb in France.
Oh,
I know.
Lydia, if you need an extra guest, I'm your girl.
And also a listener, Lily Tyler Batt, is getting married in a barn on a vineyard. Because why not? Don't be jealous now. Come on.
That's so romantic.
Isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it lovely? The first thing I really wanted to address when we're talking about this hosting of your own wedding is something that I think is a massive misconception about hosting your own wedding. And it was also pointed out by one of our readers, and I quote, in response to our question on Instagram, that was, are you hosting your own wedding? One reader said, I keep being told I should to save money, but I'm scared and they don't seem cheap.
Absolutely.
Bang on.
There's plenty of own hosted weddings that have actually turned out to be more expensive than had you
Absolutely.
Chosen a dedicated wedding venue.
Yeah, and in some cases, perhaps it is cheaper sometimes, but not always. And I think just need to be very, very aware of that. And hopefully by the time we've finished this episode, it will give people a lot to think about
mm-hmm.
and to kind of give them an idea of how much it might end up costing
all
you,
the things
depending
you need
on
to consider.
Yeah, absolutely.
And basically, yeah, how much all that's going to cost. Yeah. Is it worth it?
Exactly. So if you think about staffing the venue that you're creating, catering the whole thing, potentially sourcing bathrooms, toilets, all of which we'll go into much more detail about further on the episode. But your budget is possibly going to have to stretch much further because these things individually might cost more than if you would have a wedding venue traditionally that already comes with all those things.
Well, it's the time as well, isn't it? Because if you've got a venue, a lot of those things are already there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just there and you're paying for it. So you don't have to consider it.
Yeah, there's no thought that needs to go into it.
There's all these extra elements, and there is a lot of extra elements that we'll go into that you A, have to just consider it and B, organise it and C, pay for it.
Absolutely. And leading on from you saying there about organising it, that's the next thing I want to talk about is logistics.
Mm.
Logistics, logistics, logistics. Naturally, there's much more work involved from your part when you're organising, say, a marquee or a teepee or an empty barn, unless obviously you get a planner in to help you with that. So what we're going to do is go over the ways in which you can help yourself when organising your own wedding. So the first thing you need to do, as with any wedding, is to know your guest list, because numbers will help you to determine the type of venue that you can use or how many tents you might need if you're having a teepee wedding, for example. Is the village hall that you've actually seen that you like going to be big enough? You need to be careful not to confuse overcrowded with cozy. You definitely need to make sure you've got enough space for the amount of people that you want to invite. So your parents' back garden might be amazing, but really, can it really comfortably house 80 people, or would it be better if you just had 60?
Yeah. One of the main considerations, of course, is the weather.
Yeah.
Which, if you want to listen to our previous podcast, we talk all about that. The rain in Spain and the rain in Leeds.
Yep.
Wherever it is you're getting married. Anyway, so say you've got an outdoor space, your parents' back garden.
Yeah.
And it's very beautiful and you're like, yeah, I'm going to have 100 guests and they're going to use the garden, they're going to use the marquee. Well, if it rains a lot, they're all going to be in the marquee.
Yeah.
So is it comfortable for 100 people to be in that marquee all evening? Now,
absolutely.
The company that you hire it from should be obviously giving you a capacity.
Yeah.
So you've got those guidelines.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that is certainly a consideration.
Just think about that.
Yes.
A little bit. Yes, absolutely. So you know your guest list, then it's time to find your venue or your land. So be that a village hall, you know, a farmer's field you've driven past, an abandoned warehouse you've had your eye on, whatever it might be. If you are struggling to find a site, then most teepee or marquee companies might be able to recommend a good site for you. So it's definitely always worth asking them for advice. If you like their tents and their business ethos and you think that you might want to go with them, then definitely approach them and ask them if they can recommend any sites for you to go and have a look at. One thing to remember with these sorts of spaces is that they're very unlikely to have a wedding license. So you won't actually be able to have your actual wedding ceremony officially in a teepee.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's unlikely that you can have one in a village hall. There are a few village halls in the UK that hold a wedding license, but very, very, like, and literally actually, handful.
Yeah, and that's no different. I mean, some wedding venues, if you get married outside, that's not
true.
Like a legal ceremony. They're not licensed to do that.
Yeah, so be prepared to do the legal bit before or after. Whilst we're just talking about licenses, I want to briefly mention that bar and alcohol licenses and music licenses as well. You probably won't need a music license to play anything, as it's a family function. But if you're bringing a bar in, then you will need a license, unless you're stocking your own bar not making any profit from it. There is a little bit of legal stuff to do with, like, bar licensing. So I'm going to link in the notes section of this podcast where you can go and have a look and find out when you will and won't need to have a license. So hopefully that will be helpful.
It's funny because I just would not consider something like that at all. Like, it just wouldn't occur to me.
But you wouldn't, would you?
If you're having like a party, essentially your mom and dad's garden, that you would have to get a license.
I mean, hopefully if you're hiring in a reputable bar,
they'd know all
like
about
someone
that anyway.
From the list, they will have the required licenses that they need, but it's just so you can make sure you're asking the right questions of suppliers that you're looking into to make sure that they've got everything that they should have. Okay, so back to choosing your venue/site. You will need to think about a few factors when considering a space for a tent or a teepee or a marquee type wedding. So pens at the ready, people. A few things you need to think about are, is the site overly exposed? By that we mean, as in, is it sheltered enough from open space? You don't want it too open.
In case there's like a thunderstorm or...
All those things, you don't want to be too overexposed. Is there a backup site just in case?
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
That drainage as well, like...
Yeah, drainage definitely needs to be considered. The ground needs to be well drained because you obviously don't want anything to flood. Mm-hmm. So that's something to make sure that you double check. And also that the ground is level or as level as it can possibly be. You should check.
As in, you don't want, don't put your marquee on the bottom of a slope.
That's the one. You don't want a slopey dance hill. Floor. Obviously, ground is uneven, which yeah. I think is okay, but generally.
You don't want all that rain raining into, yeah, your, into no. your tent, do you? No,
don't want it all coming down the hill to the foot of your dance floor. Are there any amenities on site already? So perhaps you're using the outside space of a venue that you've already got, so you might already have some amenities sort of on site that you can use, so you could consider that.
So we had Mabel's fifth birthday party at Village Hall.
Five.
And they do traditionally quite a few weddings.
Oh, right.
And it's such a beautiful building.
Right.
Like it's, you know, Victorian, all the massive windows, it's got all the wooden floors.
Oh, lovely.
All the features that you'd want. It's
yeah.
kind of like a blank canvas, but beautiful.
Yeah.
And I walked in there, I thought, oh my gosh, this makes such a lovely wedding.
Yeah.
They have toilets.
Right.
I wouldn't say they were the most glamorous toilets in the world. But, you know, they were there and they were clean.
Yeah.
And they had like a kitchen facility.
Oh, right. Okay.
But that's, I suppose, an example of what we're trying to say.
Exactly.
Is that it's a kitchen facility.
Yes.
You would, if you were considering that Village Hall, you need to have a complete list of what that kitchen has, so that,
and what it's capable
you,
of,
so that you can speak to your caterers and say, well, there's a kitchen on site, it has XYZ.
Exactly.
Whereas they might require three ovens, or
yes,
and, they, and that's the exactly Village Hall point. Might have yeah. one, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like all those things that you can yeah. have a venue that is halfway there.
That's it. Yeah.
But you just need to make sure that the bits that are missing,
yeah,
that you fill the gaps.
Really
basically.
Scope out what's already yeah. there, and like you say, then go back to your suppliers and say, right, we've got this. Is
yeah.
that enough, or do yeah. you need to bring your own stuff with
yeah.
you? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's a really good example of exactly what I was trying to mm-hmm. say. Thanks. Next thing to consider is the site easily accessible? So we're talking here about overhead space, like no overhanging trees, can tents get in? You're going to need a good few meters to be able to get any marquee on site. So you might find this incredible woodland that is amazing and has a lovely space in the middle for you to put up a few teepees, but can you get the teepees in there in the first
place?
Can
you get the loo in there?
Can you get your loo in there?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So have a real good scope out of your site and just try and consider all those things before you go ahead. Going back to what you've just said slightly about on-site amenities that might already be there. So you might be in a position where you have a venue that you like, but you love their grounds and they're happy for you to put a marquee up in their grounds. This will help you massively logistically, because obviously you'll have access to the main venue. So similar to what you were just saying about the Village Hall, you might be able to use the amenities within the venue, but still host your mm-hmm. wedding outside. And in that situation, the venue may be able to assist you with that. But if it's not something they do on a regular basis, again, mm-hmm. it might be something you've mm-hmm. got to do all yourself from scratch. So.
Our local community pub does that as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we live in a very, very small, beautiful village, and they have a list community pub. So literally it's run by one of the guys who lives here. So it's open three evenings a week. And in the holidays.
Oh, you've told me about this before.
In holidays, you can go on it on a Sunday. But they have events like, you know, who can grow the biggest pumpkin.
Oh,
I'm cute. I'm not even taking the piss. And, you know, they have like hog roasts and family barbecues. It's really lovely, like really lovely. But you can have events there, so you can have your wedding, and it wouldn't be licensed to have your actual ceremony, but you can certainly have your reception there.
Yeah.
They've had christenings there, etc. And it overlooks this really beautiful field. So essentially, you bring in your marquee and or your teepees, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The pub itself will recommend suppliers mm-hmm. for you, or you can have a look at our directory of the list and look up on there. And that means that you benefit from the amenities of the pub, which has a bar, which is obviously licensed. And you'd have to work out somebody from there to run it for you. You have that indoor space.
Yeah.
In case there is a thunderstorm.
Just in case.
But you also get the benefit of a lovely outside space and being able to do exactly what you want with it.
Space,
and I think that's the key point we're trying to make is, if you have a venue of any kind, there are always going to be aspects of that venue that don't quite fit in with what you want.
Yeah.
Whether that's the layout, whether that's the carpet.
Yeah.
Whether
or how
that's
flexible you can be with
flexible,
decor.
Exactly. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Whereas if you have literally got a white marquee or a teepee, then that is your space to create whatever you want.
Yeah. And doing it on the grounds of a venue just gives you the best of both worlds, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's that thing of, if you want that freedom and that flexibility to have your very, really your own wedding, mm-hmm. but you're not into the logistics and you're not into that side of it, then that's definitely the best compromise mm-hmm. to make, is find a venue with a ground that you can
use. Yeah.
So you've chosen your site. Next thing you need to do if there's nothing on the site is decide what type of tent you want, because there is no longer just a simple white marquee. There is a million choices of the types mm-hmm. of tents that you can have. I will link in the show notes to a post we've written about different tent types for your wedding, and that hopefully will help you narrow that down a little bit. Next thing you need to consider is, do you or do you not get a wedding planner to help you? So, go on, want to say something?
Yeah. I'd say this type of wedding in particular, at least an on-the-day planner.
100%.
You just need a spare pair of hands.
You do.
And as much as you say, like, friends, bridesmaids, groomsmen, all mm-hmm. that, they are also the bridesmaids and the friends and the groomsmen.
Yeah.
And if I've learned anything from my sister's wedding, is that you thought we had everything covered.
Yeah.
But when you throw kids into the mix as well,
it's all out the window.
There is just never enough people yeah. to do all of the tasks that you need.
Yeah.
And the thing is, a lot of these tasks are not what the kind of things that you can do whilst wearing a fancy dress.
No.
Or
there's
a suit.
Not that much bending in those fancy
no.
dresses.
No. And then it's like, okay, so how do we get this yeah. done now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if your budget can stretch, I'd or save on something else, get someone on that day yeah. who can be your run around,
absolutely.
Essentially, and organise people.
I mean, if you're super organised and you love logistics and planning, then you can absolutely give it a go yourself on the run up to. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely say for on the actual day, you just don't need to be thinking about the logistics and where things are and what your caterer is doing and when it's coming out. And that's literally the last thing you need to be thinking about. I would also say get the ball rolling and see how you go. And you might find that you make it all the way to the big day of planning. You've done everything. You've planned everything yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you start to struggle along the way, then you know, you don't have to have a wedding planner right from the start. If you've got halfway through the process and you're like, I'm struggling to keep up with everything, mm-hmm. there are planners who will pick your wedding up from any point. Mm-hmm. So please don't struggle and stress if you start this mammoth journey and you feel like you can't see it through to the end. You can 100% get a planner in yeah. at any stage of your planning. For example, one of our list suppliers, One Curious Dream, offer varying packages from full shebang to stepping in once you've already got started or just doing on the day.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth go and visit the list, rockmywedding.co.uk/the list, and have a look at our wedding planners, because they come highly recommended, mm-hmm. handpicked by us, and can help see you through from either the start, the middle, or just the end of it.
If nothing else, you just need somebody there who makes sure that everything runs on time. Exactly. If you book a traditional wedding venue, they'll either have their specific wedding planner or yeah. planners, or they will have like a manager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who is at least there like, right, okay, guests need to go into the ceremony room now.
Yeah.
Guests need to move into this area for the canapes now. Yeah. Now it's time for the wedding breakfast. You know, just someone there.
Sure.
Maneuvering.
Rain your speeches in, people, because it's bordering on 8 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah.
Whereas, of course, if you're doing it yourself, you don't.
Yeah.
So you either need to have somebody who is super organised, who's willing to do all that for you.
Absolutely.
Or you book an on-the-day planner.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is checking your watch on your wedding day, isn't it? Making sure things that you don't want to think about anything. So, yeah, we can't really reiterate that enough, can we? That on-the-day planner, organiser, compare, whoever it might be, is super, super important. Mm-hmm. On the subject of planning, what about planning for the weather? As we discussed on the previous episode, you can't plan for it. But what I wanted to say about the weather and marquee type weddings is that don't feel that you can't have it in the winter months, because you can. Yes, we know the rain and all of that, but if you've ticked off our, you know, site checklist about checking for drainage and all that sort of thing, you should be okay to still have your wedding in the winter. To keep your marquee / teepee / whatever it might be tent warm, you can now have indoor fire pits. Like, can you imagine that it's all cool and frosty mm-hmm. outside and you've got a big fire pit inside your marquee? They're not just for summer weddings, so I just wanted to put out there that actually you can do it in the cooler months.
And if it is a summer wedding, what about aircon?
If it's a summer wedding, get some aircon, because we do always talk about the rain and the wet and the thunderstorms mm-hmm. and this and that and the other. But what if it's absolutely
exactly.
like
know,
this week,
I know enough weddings,
it's going to be 35
so
degrees. Imagine, yeah, you need to
you feel very
we'll go
melty.
Through that in our list. Yeah, I mean, we talk about melty a lot, don't we? Mm. And you can be melty in a tent. Mm-hmm. Not a good look. With that in mind, shall we go through a list of things that you must consider when hosting your own.
Yes, yeah. Let's.
Okay, here is my full list of things to consider. Are you ready? There's a few points.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You tick them off as I go.
Okay. I will.
Good access for vehicles to erect your chosen tent. Point two, ensure there is sufficient space for your tent pegs and the lines. So remember, you need additional space to make sure your tent is secured firmly. So you might know that your tent is, I mean, I don't know how big tents are, but let's go 10 meters by 20 meters. Mm-hmm. But you have to bear in mind also that the tent pegs aren't 10 meters by 20 meters, they're 30 meters by 40 meters or whatever they are.
And you want space around that for people to walk if you're planning on a garden area, the other side of the marquee.
Yeah.
If your portaloos are to the right of the marquee.
Yes.
You've got to address exactly the space that that marquee and or teepee and or tent is going to take up, including the pegs and the lines and the excess space you need without people stumbling.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I can't imagine. Well, I can, because that would be me. Just going to use the portaloo.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So make sure there is sufficient space for everything, mm-hmm. not just the tent itself. While we're talking about space in general, what about your caterers? We will go into a whole episode of its own for catering, but in this context, where are they going to be? Is there enough space for them for a separate catering tent? Because that's what they will need. And it's probably a good idea to have one that connects to your main tent rather than one that's far away, so that if it is bricking it down, your caterers can get your food safely to your guests.
The ones of really homespun wedding that I've been to.
I've never been to one. I'm so jealous.
Like, but I mean, like full on field attached to parents' farm type wedding. We didn't even know where the caterers were coming from.
That's what you want?
As in, like the waiting staff appeared with these amazing plates of food, like from somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I don't even know where you've come from. And that's because we were ushered into what would be the main part of the marquee.
Yeah.
And we essentially sat down and they were obviously in an adjoining part of the marquee, which is exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
So we didn't hear any noise or any disruption.
And it's a part of the marquee you can't see from the outside.
Absolutely. So as being a guest, it was like, oh, here's my food.
Yeah.
How marvellous. And it's, if you just get out of your chair and you turn right, there is a fancy toilet. And that's really all you need to know.
Yeah.
A point to make there as well is that they had a live band later in the evening and that was already completely set up. So as you, again, as you walked into the marquee, ready to sort of sit down at your allocated table, you knew that there was live music coming.
Because
well,
you could see.
You would hope so. Because there was a drum kit and guitar and all the rest of it. Unless, you know, the bride's dad was going
to
ensemble. But because that's another thing, I guess. You don't want to be organising suppliers in a way that's going to disrupt your guests' experience
Absolutely.
At any point.
Yeah, that's exactly Everything how it needs, should have been, yeah, isn't it? You don't want to be eating your, you know, your chicken dinner and then there's banging the drums.
Bob's there with his triangle trying to get in.
We just mentioned catering and actually we've just talked on, you know, when the band or entertainment should come in and set up. How are these caterers being powered? You need to make sure you have ample generators to fuel whatever it is that you're having on site. What you need to do is check with your suppliers their power requirements in advance so you can make sure that you have enough power to fuel everybody. How much do your caterers need? What does your band need to fuel their amps and all that sort of stuff? Ask them and then you get the generators to fuel requirements. Also talking about fuel and requirements, heating, aircon, we've talked about those very briefly. Just you need to think about both of those things. Something else you also need to think about is lighting.
I was going to say, I always think about this because on our Instagram channel, which if you don't already follow us, is at Rock My Wedding on Instagram.
It's quite self-explanatory.
It is. We have all these beautiful pictures of all these festoon lights.
Yes.
Which are very lovely in terms of making it romantic and all the rest of it. How much can you actually see?
Well, not too much from a simple festoon light. My friend had a marquee wedding and I remember when the lighting question came up, she was like, eh? And the guys were like, we can do the festoons, that's cool, but you need to light the area in general. So you want to light the trees that are around you so that people can see you. You also need light inside.
And see what you're having for dinner.
But they were saying to her, you know, you can go, let's go blue on the trees. And she was like, I don't want blue trees. No, thanks. So you need to have a conversation with your lighting people to make sure you're getting the atmosphere and creating the atmosphere that you want. Mm-hmm. And like you say, making sure it's well lit enough at night. Obviously, you're going to hopefully have some sort of evening entertainment that might come with its own source of lighting, disco lights, etc. But disco lights aren't going to be enough. You need some sort of lighting within the tent slash TV mm-hmm. slash whatever it is that you're choosing, village hall, to make sure people can see. And like we've just said, a lighting way to the toilets for once it's gone dark. Everyone needs to be able to make sure that they can see where they're going. So outdoor lighting is as important, if maybe not more important than the indoor, so people know where they're going
mm-hmm.
to get out of your field. Or
which brings you nicely onto signage.
It does bring us nicely onto signage. If you have an unconventional venue, i.e. a field, people may not know where this is. So it's another element of the whole decor, if you like, aspect that you're going to have to consider so that people actually know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's worthwhile having a detailed route on your invitations, but also just having that signage en route is really helpful. If you go back and listen to the episode that we did with Ben and Alice, they talk a lot about wedding signage for their wedding that was really super helpful on their day.
Mm-hmm.
That was episode 7 on series 2, Wedding Planning for Grooms. And they talk about how wedding signage was really useful for them and actually how they've sort of repurposed it again afterwards. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can go back and listen to that to hear a bit more about it. We've talked at the start of the episode about licenses. So check your alcohol license if you need one. Visit the link in the show notes to find out if you do or you don't. Check your ground drainage, super important thing to check off your tick list. And think about your dance floor. It can be a good idea to have your dance floor at the front of your marquee slash TP slash whatever tent it is, to double up as a bit of a drinks reception area when everyone mm-hmm. turns up. The worst thing is just standing around a load of tables. Like, it's a bit of a no man's land. So if you have your dance floor at the front of your tent, it just means then people have got an area to gather.
Yeah.
And they're not all sort of squished in little random aisles between tables. So that's dance floor, but there's flooring in general as well. I believe if you hire a marquee and or TP or whatever, there would be flooring options that you can consider, different types of colours of carpet. And so there's all these things to think about. When it comes to flooring as well, it's probably a good idea to have some sort of walkway up to your marquee slash tent, just so that people know where they're going. And if it was to rain or something like that, there is a defined space that's not
yeah, and also soggy. Like exactly like rugs to wipe their feet.
That's it.
As well,
exactly.
And things like that.
Yeah. So flooring is a big thing. You yeah. need something that's going to be hard wearing, that your supplier should be able to give you enough things to choose from. But if you want to add in your own rugs and things as well, then, you know, absolutely mm-hmm. by all means do that.
Because that's the thing as well, isn't it? Like creating that space that you want. There are so many companies now that hire out furniture.
Oh my gosh.
So you can literally yeah. create like a world within my marquee. You know, I've yeah. got enough space for my dance floor, I've got enough space for my band.
Yeah.
And I've got this amazing space for everyone to like sit down and have a chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some nice sofas yeah. and a coffee table.
I think that the ultimate benefit of this type of wedding is you can literally do what you want. You could have it completely quintessentially English and have it totally, you know, afternoon tea like, and it'll work. Or you can go totally the other extreme and have a festival vibe where it's dead chilled. You can literally do what you want. The venue is not dictating how your wedding should look because there is no pre-existing look to it.
No.
It is literally a blank canvas for you to do what you want. And like you say, there's so many companies now that you can hire in all these types of different decor. You can literally go for your life and have exactly mm-hmm. what you want. And you can find decor hire companies on the list as well. Always visit there to have a look and see what we've got to offer. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. Parking is my next point for you to consider.
It's quite a big point.
It's huge. You need to think about, is there enough space for your guests to park? Is the village hall car park big enough? Or do you need to suggest an alternative car park that people can park mm-hmm. at? Is it easier for you to put on a coach?
Or minibuses? You know,
like
or
your own sort of
is.
Mini park and
say
ride.
Say if you're like, getting married in like the village church,
yeah.
do you put on transport from the church? Because you can actually leave your car there and yeah. then get the bus to the marquee.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if it is a small village hall or it is the middle of nowhere woodland, or it's,
or
a,
it's
farmers,
a warehouse, or in the middle of like an industrial exactly. estate that's yeah. got 3 car parking spaces.
Yeah. It's unlikely you're going to have ample space. So that's one thing really to consider. Where's the closest space? How do you overcome that issue? Do you put on a coach service? minibuses, whatever it might be. It's just something to consider when you're looking at the space and choosing mm-hmm. where you're going to have your wedding. The next point I want to mention is don't just assume that by hiring a teepee, for example, you're going to get your tables and chairs. You need to make sure you ask the question, what is included? Do you therefore need to hire tables, chairs, linen, tableware, dinnerware, crockery, barware? Just double check what is included in your package and what do you need to hire externally. Next thing to consider on my little list for you is accommodation. Traditional wedding venues obviously have bedrooms because largely they're hotels or, you know, big houses and blah, blah, blah. If you're getting married in a field, there's not really anywhere to stay unless you're providing tents
or camping.
So is there places locally for people to stay, you know, that's within a taxi journey or whatever, just as long as there's somewhere for people
and
to stay.
And put that in your invitation or in your like wedding details or whatever so people know in advance.
Yeah. I recently did some wedding stationery for a friend and there was a really nice accommodation section where she'd split it out into luxury accommodation, like a medium level of accommodation and then a budget level of accommodation. Mm-hmm. And she gave two options for each and they were all within sort of a 10 mile radius. So it just gave people an option.
Yeah.
But at least there was an option for people to stay somewhere. A couple of things to think about post wedding are who clears the wedding up afterwards.
Mm.
Obviously, if you're in a venue, they've got staff and they, once the wedding's done, they turn the room around ready for the next wedding. Who clears your village hall? Who's clearing your teepee up? What you need to know, basically.
Who's clearing out that marquee so that the marquee hire company can just come along and take it down.
Exactly.
Rather than having like 57 garlands hanging from each side that they have to dispose of.
Yeah, so just make sure you know who is responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. So who's responsible for it? At what time do they come to do the clearing away of things and all that? Just so you can be super organized and knowing what's happening the following day. And also sort of that ties in with that is you might need to add lawn repairs to your budget.
Mm.
So for example, you're using Auntie Jill's back garden. Auntie Jill's back garden is not used to 60 people trampling over it for 8 hours.
Those stilettos.
Oof, it's going to need some sort of attention
after. They've caused some damage to the pansies.
Poor Auntie Jill. So yes, you need to know how much it is to have a gardener come in and rectify any issues.
Rectify Auntie Jill's pansies.
And that's it. While we're just talking about the lawn, quickly, do you have plans for outdoor games? And if so, that's another thing you need to think about when it comes to checking the space of what you've got. If you've got a giant Jenga and you've got a coconut shy planned and all this, where's it actually going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Just if you are planning outdoor games, just consider that in your scanning of your site and make sure there's enough space for those things too. Two more things, guys. I'm nearly through my list. Two more things. The penultimate point is think about neighbours and noise pollution. Who do you need to let know that you're having a wedding and it's going to be loud and it's going to be raucous and it's going to go on till 11:30? Think about your surrounding areas and who needs to know. Just as a courtesy thing, really. Mm-hmm. And we've talked in previous episodes, in our entertainment episode, haven't we?
Certainly, if it's a residential area.
Exactly, about noise limiters. Mm-hmm. And there might be a limit on how loud your band can be. So you need to let your band know that. And then that might affect what they can play, all that sort of stuff. And obviously also you can consider a silent disco if you need to. Go on a little bit later than you're allowed to. And the final thing is insurance. If ever you needed to have insurance, it's when you're sorting it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you are covered for
any eventuality.
Any eventuality. And I think basically that's all you need to know. I mean, small
list. Because we've given you such a massive list. So we haven't gone into any particular thing in any detail because we'd literally be here for 3 hours and
three hours.
We know you would just fall asleep. And there's obviously some of you who are probably listening here like, I'm not even planning my own wedding and I'm glad I'm not.
Yeah.
Based on the massive list of things. But no, on a serious note, like it can be amazing if you like this kind of thing, if you like planning, if you're very organised, if you really want to have the ultimate version of your day your way, then I don't think there's a better way of doing it than having a completely legitimately blank canvas,
which it is in
this case. And of course, you know, we spoke about how expensive it can be.
Yeah.
That domino effect, if you need this and then you need this to have that and et cetera, is that you can get, you know, a budget wedding if perhaps you go for a halfway house.
Absolutely.
Like we were saying, hiring a space such as a village hall that has certain amenities, which takes those cost implications and the logistics away.
But they have a great big lawn that you can then
But they have an amazing
on.
Garden outside. Yeah. The building itself is beautiful, but it costs, like, I think, I want to say the one that we had Mabel's party at was about $1,000.
Right.
To hire for the day for a wedding.
Yeah.
And then you've got the loos and you've got the kitchen and you've got beautiful windows. Yeah. And
so it can be done, can't it, for much less? So,
yeah, absolutely.
But it's just finding that right, the right venue for you and the budget that you've got and all of those things, isn't it? And please do, I know we harp on about the list. I think we've mentioned it a few times in this episode. But you can literally visit the list and create your entire wedding from the suppliers that we suggest.
So it's whatmywedding.co.uk/the list.
You can find your TP company who in turn will help you find, you know, whoever it is they suggest, the land or whatever it is they recommend.
But flooring.
We've got the toilets even, suppliers on the list. We've got the planners. We've got all the elements, you know, the travelling bars. Travelling bars?
Oh, bar that travels.
I suppose it's right.
Prosecco van, pizza van, you name it, we've got it.
But basically, yes, you can go there and you can plan your whole wedding from there. So if you're stuck with where to start, please visit there to get more information from our amazing suppliers, because they'll be more than willing to help with advice and a friendly voice. I think that's it. I think that's a long enough list, isn't it?
I think it
is. Jeez, people are going to be well bored of hearing me drone on about this is what you need, this is what you need. But I will, as always, in the show notes, link to some amazing kind of host-it-yourself weddings so that you can get an idea of how a day can
including look. A beautiful DIY village hall wedding for under £5,000.
Honestly, so good. She looks so beautiful in that needle and thread dress as well. But yeah, all of those will be linked in the show notes. Charlotte, do you have anything to add?
I don't think so. But, you know, like I always say, if you want to invite some extra guests, like Becky and I are more than willing to come along.
You tell we've got no weddings to go to
for the next year.
Like,
none.
Actually, none for the foreseeable.
I know. I think this is the first time it's ever happened. Ugh. Like literally none on the horizon.
Oh, I'm well up for an invite.
So I'm just saying.
Get our glad
last minute
on.
Cancellation. We're there.
Sign us up, especially if there's a chicken dinner. I don't think I've already mentioned that. But thank you for listening. As always, for your feedback and your DMs, they do make us laugh. And for participating in our Instagram polls, thank you very much. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, if you would like to give us a little rating and a review, we'd be eternally grateful.
Thank you.
Thanks ever so much. And see you later. Oh, also, sorry, this is out a day late, you know, life and all. But we will see you in 2 weeks for the next episode.
Goodbye. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Becky and Charlotte from Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. For more content, visit rockmywedding.co.uk, follow us on Instagram at rockmywedding, or buy the book Your Day Your Way from Amazon or any leading book retailer. This podcast is produced by We Are The Clarks.